you know, we've been talking about, as you just heard with Rob Levy, certainly me off the top, and it's the biggest topic of conversation, is the rise in the capital gains taxes, but also, and the impact on our productivity, on what our economy is really like, is GDP per capita, investment per capita is the underlying variable there. I want to talk about, though, the impact on our investments specifically with that. I'm going to bring in Andrew Ruland, Integrated Wealth Management in Calgary. And I'll just say up front, Andrew's got a webinar coming up on that very subject, or broader than that, but digging down into these kind of things that are happening. I mean, my gosh, we're swimming in geopolitical events and changes every day, as an example, this kind of a tax change. Andrew, first of all, appreciate you taking time. And I bet you've got more than one or two questions when this capital gains gain increase kind of hit the fan. I certainly did.
Yeah, hitting the fan, I think, is probably the right expression. The immediate response I had was, this is kind of like another straw on the camel's back. And are we breaking the Canadian, you know, economy camelback, you know, to take that to an absurd level? But the fact is it's about all the things that have come before, in terms of labor costs, in terms of payroll taxes, in terms of other regulatory things, which just makes Canada a less and less competitive environment for most businesses.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. Is I think I'm really glad you're saying it's not the whole deal. It's just one more piece of straw on the camel's back. And I mean, that's what people have to appreciate, that Canada had a reputation of not being particularly competitive, especially versus the United States, and every stat would support that. You know, we talked all day in the show so far about productivity per capita. You know, well, that's a key measure, investment per worker per capita. I mean, output is obviously key to investment. And it was sort of, I mean, that was already out there. So this hardly helps the perception. And as you have to deal with that, I mean, as the famed Jim Dine said, it's all about our perceptions, you know, you know, wrote a big book on that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's part of that environment that now you have to deal with.
Yeah, absolutely. The interesting thing is that, like, from a broad perspective, of course, Canada has been lagging behind in productivity growth. In fact, last year we had we went backwards by 2% in productivity, and in the U.S. they went ahead by 5%. So that's just a 7% gap just on that 1 year in 2023, and so that has a big impact on where capital wants to go, especially when it comes to innovation. But that's where this whole idea of, should I invest in Canada or should I invest in the US or should I shift completely out of Canada? And I think that's kind of a false binary choice. I think it's more about the sectors, because as you've mentioned many times on the show and is obvious to money managers, Canada doesn't really have a tech sector other than, say, Shopify, right? So if you want exposure to tech and AI and things like that, of course, the US is the place to go. But here in Canada, we have some differences that are often weaknesses compared to the US, but we also have some significant strengths. We are hewers of wood and drawers of water and drillers of hydrocarbons. And so that's our strength. And I think that we need to play to that. And I'd say the good news about what the Trudeau Singh-inspired budget is that it's not going to affect global demand for commodities, which we are rich in. It's terrible for banking. It's terrible for venture capital. It's terrible for telecom. It's terrible for a lot of different things, but at least it's not going to hurt the commodity sector too much.
Yeah, but that's a very important point to make, that it's sectoral. Doesn't mean, you know, I guess the broader point you were making up front is you want exposure to the U.S. in those areas that have strength. Technology is one. And, you know, I mean, I like to say we've got a burgeoning technology sector, but it's not the size of, you know, the so-called Magnificent Seven. You know, Canada isn't going to be a leader in AI. We'll have participants. We're not going to be a leader in AI. Mm-hmm. And that has to be a question of how much that's been evaluated into the stocks already. You know, where do we go from here? And are you short term, long term? All the things I know you're asking your clients, you know, nonstop. But it is that environment. And what I liked about, liked isn't the right word, but I thought a benefit of that capital gains increase is it brought the conversation forward. We've talked my guess is we've talked more about productivity in the last couple of weeks than we had, even this, despite the fact like Bank of Canada warnings and other warnings, and any major economist has been worried about that. I mean, it's our standard of living that we're talking about. So I like that we're talking about it then, but as you say, take a little bit more nuanced approach, remove the politics and just look, where are my damn opportunities here? And your point about commodities, well taken, and about oil is well taken. I mean, we've never had a drawdown in oil demand, never. You know, so where are we going to play in that? What, you know, if you like that sector, how are you going to do it long term, you know, sort of thing? So I think those are all the, I mean, you're doing a webinar on it, I know, but those are all the great questions.
Yeah. And, you know, again, when I think about what Canada's strengths are, and here in Calgary, obviously, we're immersed in the oil and gas story. But global demand has, it's waxed and waned in terms of its growth. But it's never really declined significantly, other than during kind of the false closure around 4 years ago, right? With the COVID crash, and that's just because the world shut down temporarily. But the fact is that even if we don't have great building demand from China, we still have 2 or 3 billion people around the world, maybe 4 billion people around the world, who would like to cook with gas or electricity produced by gas instead of burning dung, and, you know, getting all of the negative health effects from that. So that is, you know, as those parts of the third world want to come into the second world, that is a tailwind, or, you know, a push from below in terms of demand.
Yeah, we're seeing a huge push in coal too. You know, as you mentioned, natural gas. We'd like to see natural gas being used. I mean, that should satisfy at least some people worried about climate change with the lower emissions versus coal. But man, I'm looking at that coal increase. You know, everywhere I look, it seems like a big bump. Because, I mean, the bottom line is your standard of living is directly linked to your energy consumption. And as you say, you know, people want a better life. You know, hundreds of millions of billions of people want a better life. So that will mean more energy demand. And I just think, as you say, there's opportunities within that. And I guess that's what your stock selection is all about, you know, portfolio selection. But, and as I say, you're going to do a webinar, you're going to get more into that. But I also don't want to leave out the interest rate uncertainty we're dealing with now. And again, how people can, I as an investor, just find it a lot easier when I think I'm going to park my money at 5% than going back a few years. And I don't want to park my money at 0.5%, which we were all experiencing. So at least it's a more positive discussion, but you must have, you know, lots of people looking for that with this uncertainty, geopolitically, interest rate, U.S. election coming up, all of that stuff.
We certainly did. And going back a year, we certainly had some folks who were asking more about that. And, you know, we did make some shifts from equities a little bit into some additional kind of short-term stuff. But that was really for folks who were quite skittish. The good thing for a portfolio manager right now, so I'll drill down kind of into the equity component. Our portfolio managers are not always fully invested. And it used to be that you would really be punished for taking money off the table and holding cash, other than if the you know, the equity markets were really cratering. But now it's like, okay, well, you know, I've got a good gain implicit in stock XYZ, and so I'm going to maybe trim my exposure to 2/3 or half, or get completely out of it. And I'm going to ring the cash register. You never go broke taking a profit. And we're at least going to get some yield in T-bills while we're waiting for the next opportunity. So it's opened up that we can get paid a little more to wait in cash, both at the individual investor level, but also at the equity manager level.
Yeah, it's, I'm just smiling thinking of, you know, there's no shortage of things for you to talk about in your webinar, which is, I'll let people know, we'll put it up on our sites and social media, et cetera. But it's, and there's, the thing is, there's always limited opportunity through the technology. But on Tuesday, it's 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific. And you can do the math. You could actually go to 9 p.m. Eastern. See how quick I am with that stuff, Andrew. Well, and what, that plus three was right there.
And what time in Maui?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I know that 5 p.m. in the afternoon on Tuesday. Oh, I'm doing well. But you know, there is no shortage of things. So you're going to hit on all these topics. But another one I'm just throwing out at you. I bet you got to talk about gold. I bet you've been talking about gold because I know your people had a position in it.
Yes, we have for off and on for quite some time. And, you know, of course, we had a very solid run from 22 to 23. And then we bought again in August of 23 and almost got stopped out a few times, including almost getting stopped out three times in early March. And we were watching the price action, and obviously we've had a good run, particularly in the gold stocks. They're looking a little bit tired right now, and a little bit of backing and filling would probably be helpful. But we have a lot of people saying, well, is this the time to cash in, you know, our gold holdings? And our general theme is, you know, with declining confidence in government, why would we want to necessarily take everything off the table unless we, you know, make some incredible technical turns or something? And I mean, the geopolitics and the macroeconomic effects, or the setup with all of the different catalysts and powder kegs that are out there, that's what has a lot of people really on edge. And honestly, that's typically when gold continues to shine.
Well, as I say, you're not going to have shortage of things to talk about, but I want to tell people it's April 30th is Tuesday, April 30th, and you're doing it at 5 p.m. Maui time. No, but 6 p.m. No, that's 4 p.m. Maui time. 4 p.m. Sorry, I got that wrong. I said I didn't. No, it's 2 hours, 3 hours behind Alberta, 2 hours behind BC. So it's 7 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Pacific. It's a 60-minute webinar. Take advantage of it. It's at the best price. It's absolutely free, but you have to go to mikesmoneytalks.ca and sign up for it. mikesmoneytalks.ca. We'll put it up there. Sign up. Don't wait for it. Sign up soon. It'll be happening on Tuesday evening. Andrew, thanks for finding time. That's going to be an interesting session.
It is. And thank you, Mike. Have a good weekend.